Welcome to our Wednesday edition of the Steelers Depot training camp report. We've been lucky enough to have various beat writers and fans who have attended training camp give us some daily reports of such. And today I'm joined by, you probably read a lot of his work online and didn't even know who he is, but he's Will Graves, and he's the AP sports writer for Pittsburgh. And Will, we appreciate you joining us. How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, man. Thanks.
Well, let's get right to it. The big news, unfortunately, just broke about 20 minutes ago that Baron Batch went down with what looks to be a serious left knee injury. Can you update us on that?
Well, you know, I mean, it was sort of sudden. I mean, they were just doing some 11-on-11 stuff. He rolls through, he gets through the line, no problem, and he's sort of just running out the play, and no contact, and all of a sudden he just, you know, he comes up lame, and next thing I know, he's riding by me on the cart. And, you know, while you want to hope that it isn't that serious, I mean, the look on his face made it seem like it was pretty serious. And, you know, a tough break for a kid that has certainly turned some heads at camp.
Yeah, this kid was a fan favorite right after the draft, too, after we all heard his story. And you know, going back and looking at his film right after the draft, I noticed his blitz pickup was right where it should be already. It looked like he was making – It looked like this kid was a lock to make the 53-man roster, and what a tough break, and all we can do is hope and pray that it's not what we think it is, but it sounded like an ACL injury.
And, you know, I'm no doctor, but I've seen, you know, bad injuries happen under less strenuous circumstances. So you want to think that it isn't that bad. He is a good kid, and obviously, you know, his versatility he knew was going to help him. He's a guy that can catch the ball, you know, despite his size. I mean, he's 5'11", you know, 215, 220, but he can block. He's obviously, you know, stood out in some back-on-backer drills, and he's a guy that, you know, had done a little bit of kick return. So he knew that his versatility was going to help him with the guys that he's competing against, like Jonathan Dwyer and John Clay. And you just sort of wonder, you know, what the future holds for him. You hope that he's okay. If not, I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't hesitate to put him on injury reserve and let him, you know, keep him around. And obviously Tomlin's big on him. Ben has been sung nothing but praises, and, you know, you hope things work out for him.
Yeah, definitely do. And if he got back to surgery right away, you know, he could be back in a year's time. These guys seem to be coming back quicker and quicker from these things. So, well, you know, what do? You've got to just move on there. And, you know, next on the list is, I'm sure, is what Tomlin's going to say. Somebody's going to have to step up. But, well, let's get on to a few other things that you've seen during training camp practice today. It seemed like there was a lot of offensive line versus defensive line type stuff. Can you, kind of walk us through a little bit about what you saw today at practice?
You know, one of the things that I really noticed today, especially in the second O-line, D-line drills, you know, Cam Hayward kind of, you know, I mean, obviously his teammates, the D-line guys have praised him for his work ethic and his, you know, how he's a smart kid and he's picking up stuff, but John Scott whooped him a couple times today, man. I mean, it was, and it looked like Cam was not used to getting pushed around like that. You know, there was one play where he, during the drill where he, you know, Scott knocked him down and Cam didn't really pop back up to his feet, and he heard about it. And they ordered him right back out to go back in the next play, and Cam and Scott kind of knocked him down again. So the first round pick getting a little bit of, you know, trial by fire, but really, I mean, isn't that what you want? And I'm sure there weren't too many offensive line guys in the Big Ten that kind of had their way with him. So, you know, but it was good, yeah, for people wondering about Scott. I mean, you look, you got a young, quick, strong kid in there, and I mean, it was heated, and Scott certainly, you know, held his own. I know there's a lot of questions about, you know, he was sort of the throw-in with Willie when they re-signed. It was sort of like, well, oh, they got Willie Colon and they got Jonathan Scott. Okay, you know, and I think that, you know, it's good thing things were a little bit physical, and with the first game 48 hours away, I mean, that's what you want to see.
So Jonathan Scott didn't look limited at all by that ankle that caused him to miss a little bit of time then, huh?
He looked perfectly fine to me, and it looked to me on a couple of those reps that he and Cam got a little engaged, if you know what I mean, that there was some maybe a little bit of nastiness involved. And I think I'm sure some of that is, you know, Scott wanting to prove that he is a guy that can start and be relied upon, and Cam obviously wanting to, you know, to show that he was worth the money. So it was pretty impressive. And, you know, I think it's good. I think he, you know, the one thing that I haven't, maybe I just haven't been paying attention, or maybe this, since this is my first camp with a team. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of guys getting into each other. You know, I haven't seen a lot of breakups, and I'm not saying it was nearly to that level, but that was about as close as a two guys getting in each other's faces as I've seen in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and I even commented on Twitter that you know, according to all the reports, it sounded like it was getting a little bit, you know, a little nasty day in the trenches today, which is good for a little warm-up before they take on Washington Friday night there. You know, I think the biggest concerns, you know, I chart all the offensive line plays last year. Jonathan Scott seemed to come on playoff time and all. You know, he definitely had his rough starts last year. My biggest concern right now is who's going to, you know, if they do not bring back Flozo Adams or Max Starks, you know, after they released him right before training camp, is who's going to back him up. And Tony Hill's evidently got thrown around quite a bit today as well, too. Can you tell me a little bit about what Hill's did or didn't show today?
Well, you know, I was trying to watch a bunch of stuff at once, so I can't say that I saw a lot from Tony. I mean, I can't tell you, and I'm sure you're well aware that, you know, this is sort of, you know, I remember I talked to him a week ago, and he was talking about, you know, now it's his time, and it's sort of, you know, the fact that he hasn't stood out the first, 2 weeks of practice to me kind of says maybe it's not. And I think maybe, you certainly have some questions. I think if you can go out and get, you know, Flozell at a cap number that is amenable to both sides, or, I mean, I think Max is going to be too expensive. I think Max is going to go somewhere else. You know, if you can get Flozell, convince him, you know, if he's got another year left and he can make some money here, then I think that's certainly something they can do. That's not necessarily a slap on Tony, but I just think the resumes aren't very comparable, you know, if you can get somebody like that in there.
Yeah, I just worry about, you know, if Flozell is brought back. You know, he looked okay on the right side last year, but he's a shell of his former self, you know, as far as a left, you know, being a blindside type tackle. So that would be my biggest concern. It'd be nice if he signed, you know, at a good price and wouldn't mind being the backup to Jonathan Scott. I think then you'd have the best of both worlds, because then Flozell could basically be your swing tackle, but I'm not sure how up he would be on that. Basically, he said last offseason or during the offseason he'd come back if he could start. So that'll be definitely something to watch. Did anything stick out? You know, we've been hearing Tyler Grisham's name quite a bit over the last week. He's silently having another good camp, as is Arnez Battle. Did either of those two guys stick out at all today?
Today, I mean, obviously Tyler has earned some raves, you know, throughout camp. A lot of guys talking to him today. He's obviously, I mean, he's sort of in his make or break here. I mean, he kind of has to make the team. He cannot stay on the practice squad, you know, for a third season. He's a guy that's got to, this is his time if he's going to try and make this club. And there's an opening there at that, you know, obviously your top four are set, but after that, it's sort of a, you know, it's a grab bag. I mean, who do you want? Battle's a guy that can contribute on special teams. Tyler can a little bit too, I think, but you know, why did they have Plaxton here, you know, 10 days ago? Because they think they need a big guy to come in and be that target down the red zone. The guy that stood out to me today was, I thought Terrence McCray had two or three, you know, pretty tough catches in traffic. You know, and he's a guy that, you know, he took the ball right off of William Gay's hands on one pass. And that's a guy, and he's 6'3", you know, and he can, you know, he can make some plays. Now, that's not to say that, you know, he's going to be any sort of favorite at all. But today I thought that, you know, I thought he did a little bit. I thought Armon Robinson did a little bit today. I mean, that's something that, you know, when Charlie Batch and Dennis Dixon are in there in the second half on you know, Friday, let's see who they throw the ball to. I mean, who are the guys they're going to feel comfortable with? I think they're comfortable with Tyler. You know, I got to be honest here, as a West Virginia grad, I'm curious to see if West Lions can do anything. I mean, I would say that his college career was a disappointment to this alum, only because you saw the size and you thought, man, this guy's just going to score 10 touchdowns a year. Scott White's just going to throw him jump balls and you know, everything will be fine. So, you know, I Wes has had a couple of nice moments. He's also dropped a ton of balls. So I think that probably doesn't bode well for him, you know, down the road. But I think McCray, if you're looking for that big guy, you know, but Tyler's a guy that fits the mold of the other ones, and Arnaz, too. Arnaz is a little bit bigger, you know, but, I mean, it's almost like to play receiver for the Steelers, it's like the reverse of a ride at an amusement park. So, like, it says, you know, 6'1" and under only, And, you know, I think that they need to get somebody big in there besides Heath Miller. I mean, that's they need a big target down there. You know, Mike Wallace keeps telling me, dude, people forget that I jump, you know, 40 inches, my vertical 40 inches at the combine. Ben just doesn't want to throw me jump balls. And I'm like, well, yeah, because the safety that's coming over is going to be 3 or 4 inches taller than you most times, it seems like. So, you know, I think that it's going to be an interesting battle. And, you know, Joseph White, who's the AP sports writer in D.C., I'm sending him some stuff to look for. He's writing about the game on Friday for us. And, you know, he said, well, what are some of the spots that are sort of up for grabs now? And, you know, it's interesting for the Steelers. I mean, you know, the quote, you know, the position battles are for third string quarterback and the number five or six wide receiver, the number four running back. You know, the Redskins, I mean, you know, they're a mess. You know, so I think it'll be Steelers fans in a, you know, this, I appreciate you having me on today. I mean, let me, as a Redskin fan who grew up in the 80s watching them win Super Bowls, appreciate what you have now, because it is the thing that impressed me about this organization is just that they know what they're doing. They don't panic. They stick to the plan. Year in, year out, it's the same thing. And I think with these guys, you know, they're going to make the right decision, because how frequently do they make the wrong decision? You know, I mean, with the exception of maybe a guy like Lymus Sweet, who, I'll be honest with you, you know, after talking to him last week, and, you know, he talked a little bit about some of his personal problems, you're hoping that this is a guy that the light comes on, and you think that physically he's gifted, and, you know, what's happened, you know, today he's walking around, shoulder obviously still an issue. You know, Tomlin didn't rule him out on Friday, but you'd have to think that a guy that hasn't practiced all week isn't going to play, and the clock is ticking big time. And I think that he probably knows it. I think he knows his days here. You know, you can count them by days and maybe not even weeks, which is unfortunate. But then again, you know, he's had opportunities to pull through, and it hasn't happened for him. And guys like Tyler, you know, have been able to step in instead. So. We'll see, man. It'll be, it'll be interesting to see how the preseason plays out.
Exactly, yeah. And we'll be watching Terrence McCray, be a one to watch this weekend as well. Your article, your AP article up, I'm reading on Yahoo right now about the Dixon and Batch battle. How is that going? Does Dixon have a prayer? Do you think they showcase him and try to deal him for like a 7th-round draft pick? Because let's face it, no teams were interested in giving a 5th and a modest contract for him when he was a restricted free agent before he signed his tenure. How's that battle looking?
You're talking about two very different guys in terms of what they can do. Charlie's going to be Charlie. I mean, Charlie's going to sit there and try to make the right plays. He's not going to dazzle. I mean, he's 36 years old. He's not going to dazzle with his athleticism. He's not going to dazzle with his arm, but he's not going to do anything stupid. I think that the thing with Dennis is, you know, you see flashes. I mean, yesterday, and of course, you always know the guy's going to be able to run. You know, there was a play yesterday where he got loose and got by Ziggy. And then, you know, after when I was talking to him and Ziggy was walking by, I mean, he reminded Ziggy, hey, man, you missed me today. But obviously, if he wants to be a quarterback in this league, he's going to have to be able to throw the ball. And, you know, when I see him in the drills, I don't see him, you know, it seems to me like he's taking too long to read the play and he's dumping it off because he cannot. It's almost like he doesn't trust his gut to make a quick and accurate decision. So he sort of waits, and then it's the safety valve or, you know, something like that. So, you know, I think they're definitely going to showcase him. I imagine my guess is he would play maybe the entire second half on Friday. You know, and you want to see, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's he doesn't need to be here. They are set at quarterback, you know, for the future with Ben, and obviously, you know, Byron is certainly one of the best backups in the league. And if you need a safety guy, I mean, Charlie, how can you go wrong with a guy that's been there and done it for you? So I think that Charlie has the upper hand, I think. But somebody brought this up to me the other day, too. You know, I mean, Charlie lives here. He's Ben's buddy. No, you know, nobody is calling and asking to trade for Charlie Batch. Maybe they cut him and he just kind of hangs out and waits for somebody to get hurt or waits for them to trade. Dennis, if they can. I mean, you think it's certainly a team like Miami would be in the market for a quarterback. I would think the Redskins would be in the market for a quarterback. But, you know, it's you feel bad for Dennis because, I mean, I talked to him yesterday. It's the first time I had a chance to to chat with him. And I still remember that play against, Arizona back in 07 when he was at Oregon. And he had already torn the ACL, and he ran 45 yards for a touchdown. I mean, that's a special guy that does that. So the guy is talented, but can he, you know, become a master of the playbook and the intricacies it takes to be a quarterback in this league? Because it's not just based on athletic ability sometimes.
Yeah. We're talking with Will Graves, Pittsburgh AP sports writer. You can read his stuff. It's easy to find on Yahoo every time it goes up, but it's published and in syndicated throughout the various papers across the United States. Will, before we get you out of here, how about the defensive side of the ball? Keenan Lewis, has he been off again or on again, off again? It sounds like the only person he can cover in camp is his longtime friend Mike Wallace. Is that what you're seeing? Is he going to make the jump this preseason?
Well, I know that people certainly want him to, and I know that, you know, the Steelers could certainly, would like a sign that he's sort of ready to be a regular contributor, because let's be honest, there's no way in hell those five guys are going to stay healthy all year. I mean, you know, with Will and Ike and Troy and Ryan and Brian, they're not going to stay healthy. So you need guys. You know, Curtis Brown obviously hasn't done anything in practice yet. And though Mike says he's not going to, you know, he didn't rule him out for Friday yet. I mean, you have to think the guy's not going to play. So Keenan, look, he's going to get some playing time. It's time to kind of show it. But maybe, you know, my dad, and I was a pretty average basketball player when I was a kid. But my dad, to motivate me to play defense, would always put me on the other team's best player, not because I was a great defender, but because he knew I would try. And maybe that's what it is with him. I mean, maybe if he's Tyler Grisham's across the room, he's thinking, I'm not worried about this dude. And maybe when he sees 17 across the room, he thinks it's time to go. So you'd like to think that a guy would get mature enough that he would treat every, you know, guy that's across the room with the same level of respect. But, you know, maybe that's just part of the process. Maybe you need to get beat a few times by the Tyler Grishams of the world before the light comes on.
Yeah, and he'll have the spotlight on him for sure Friday, and definitely going to be one that we watch, along with Cresden Butler, too, who's been kind of dinged up. Really was hoping to see a lot. I was expecting him to really have a hot camp, but he's been very quiet with that injury and all. Every time I have somebody on, I like to end up with them with the three things that stuck out most to them today at practice. So rank them from third being the bottom to the first. Give me three things that stuck out to you today.
Ziggy Hood is a beast. You know, I mean, I just, there was like, during that same drill where Cam got knocked around a little bit, I mean, he just destroyed Legerski. I mean, it's like he just swallowed him, you know. I mean, it was, and let's be honest, I mean, as a guy who, I'm an NFL fan, I'm aware of the Steelers, I went to WVU, I know the history of the franchise, I know the guys on the team pretty well, but I didn't really want, I mean, Ziggy was a guy I didn't really know, you heard a lot of buzz about, and obviously he's delivering on that, I thought Stevens and Sylvester, you know, is a guy that, he made a couple of athletic plays, that he dropped a pick one time, he was all over Miller, and bent through it right to him, and he dropped it, but, you know, he's the guy that I think when you look at, you've got some aging guys back there, so it's, you know, as talented linebacking corps there is in the country, you got two guys, you got, 36 and 32. You know, I mean, there's a chance for him to really make a big impact this year, because I'm going to make a prediction on your show right now. There's no way that number 92 is going to play all 16 games. It's just not, it's not going to happen. And the number one, you'd have to go with Barron Batch being carted off. Again, a tough break for a nice kid, and you hope that it's not too bad. But, you know, I went to journalism school, not medical school, so it's, I don't want to sit here and say he's out for the year. I mean, maybe it was just something minor, and maybe he overreacted because it just was out of protection. But, you know, certainly that was, it was kind of a sleepy, dozy day. And then, you know, like about 20 minutes before camp, you know, before practice was over, it was like, what happened to 35? So you hope he's okay. But maybe it gives a guy like John Clay or Jonathan Dwyer, gives him more snaps on Friday. And, you know, Clay's a guy who, you know, let's be honest, I mean, he's a big boy. And certainly, you know, I still think he's still stunned that he didn't get drafted. But I think if you run a 4.89 40 at the combine, it has a tendency to, make teams wonder how good you are. But he feels like he's got something to prove. Dwyer is sort of the same type guy. you know, you don't want to get that opportunity through injury. You'd rather just beat a guy out, but, you know, it's too late now. So you got to just try to move forward.
Well, Will, we certainly do appreciate your time being right on the spot. Your Twitter updates during camp have been absolutely amazing, and I speak for all of Steeler Nation when, you know, us that are not able to attend, that information is our lifeline. You've done a great job with that, and people can follow Will on Twitter at WillGravesAP, all one word, and you see me retweeting his stuff all the time. Will, we appreciate having you on the Steelers Depot training camp daily wrap up, and I want to check in with you again probably sometime next week or so, and definitely throughout the season.
All right, man. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.